here it is, he says that at midnight they sang and they praised and the prisoners heard them. And then suddenly, look at the power of their worship. Look at what happened. The Bible says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Do you know that your worship can shake some things up? Your worship can change the atmosphere. Your worship can move in a way that it will shake up and break down some things. I wish I had somebody. It said that the foundation, do you know that here they was making this noise and all of a sudden the ground starting to tremble, the things starting to move. I wish I had somebody. When you see what happened, when you can imagine in your mind that all they were doing was praying and praising, and the prisoners heard them so that they would see the work of God after the worship. Come on and say, man, do I have any after effects of worship in the house? Do you know what happens after we worship him? Do you know that after we worship him, some things move in our life? After we worship him, some things are broken in our life. After we worship him, some doors are open. Y'all don't hear me in here. After we worship him, these are the effects of the aftershock of worship. Lord have mercy. Preaching better than y'all saying amen in here. After effect, the aftershock of worship was that the earth, when it quaked, the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. We got to see something here, that if you want a door open, you need to worship God. Oh, come on and say amen here. If you want a chain broken, you need to worship God. Do I have anybody to say that I had some doors shut in my life, but I need that? You go right up to that door and you just start lifting your hands. Say, Lord, I thank you for opening this door. This door don't have any power over me. This door can't keep me out, because God, you said you're everywhere. And in order for you to be in there, I got to go through this door. I wish I had somebody here. We need to get to a place that we can walk up to a door and the door open for us, because we are worshipers. Because I'm a worshiper, I can walk up to a door. Do you know there are some spiritual doors that need to be opened in your life, and the only way that they are open up is when you begin to worship God. I need you to open up this door spiritually, God, but God is saying, oh, where's your worship? That's the key to open up the door. I wish I had somebody. Oh, some of us have been bound up in so many different ways. We have been bound in sickness, bound in the opinion of others, bound up in ourselves, bound up in low self-esteem. But do you know today that your chains can be broken?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
6:6 says, let he that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I present to you today our pastor teacher, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to. Dear gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word today afresh. Take us into the study of this word led by your Spirit. Give us clarity and understanding. So, Lord, that not only we may be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to say to us and how you're going to speak to our spirit. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would somebody give the Lord a hand of praise as you're seated in his presence? Amen. God bless you. We started last Wednesday at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, going to verse 4, and we didn't get past verse 2. So we're going to pick up and finish where we left off at from last week, because it is so important again that we keep this issue of faith before the people of faith. If the Bible says the just shall live by faith, it's hard to live by what you don't know. Amen. It's hard for you to operate in the things of faith if faith is not ever before you. And so when we talked about on last week that faith is a part of our everyday lives, our everyday decisions, faith is so important to the Christian believer. Without it, the Bible says we can't please God. You know, it doesn't say anything about all of the rest of the stuff that we do. But without faith, it says, it is impossible to please him. And it all stems from the fact that our God is a God of faith. And everything he did emanated from faith. And we're made in his image and in his likeness. So therefore, all of those things are going to have a recurring issue connected with faith. Faith, 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 faith. You need to learn how to walk it, talk it, live it, breathe it. Faith, daily, daily, daily. The stronger and longer you become acquainted with faith, the more powerful you become in exercising that faith and thus being able to accomplish the things faith said you can do. You see, one of the things, I mean, you take a man who is nice and well exercised. He has a physique, they call it. You take another man and he's, you know, not exercised, and you know, he's just kind of portly and just there. They call that a physique. Just a little joke there. But here is the point, that while the one is ripping with muscles defined, and you look at the other and all you see is mass, it doesn't mean the one that has all the mass don't have muscles. it's covered up by the mask. And so you don't get to see, again, the physique on that fellow like you do the one who's exercised and defined his body, and he's obviously stronger because of exercising. Well, our faith is the same way. The more you use your faith in prayer, the stronger your prayers become. The stronger you become in exercising the faith of the Word. God, you said it, I believe it, that settles it, and I'm not changing my mind. I am concretely convinced that this is going to be so because you have said it, and I'm convinced it's going to happen. The more you start operating like that, the less the devil has time to play with your mind and change your mind and bring doubt into your mind because you ain't trying to hear it. You're like, wait a minute, his record is good with me. I've been with him a long time, and he ain't failed me yet. Not that he's ever going to do it, but I'm just trying to tell you, I'm thinking about from everything that I've trusted him with, he's never failed me in all of those times. Now, did I fail myself? Yes. Did I disappoint myself? Yes. Did I not do some things I should? Yes. But did God do? No. He was faithful. So that's why we need to know you got to operate in faith, got to operate in faith. If you do it every day, if you do it Monday through Saturday, it'd be easy to do on Sunday. If you do it consistently, you start developing, and before you know it, you're stronger in areas you used to be weak in. And so that's why we need to understand. But here again, so it says, 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Simply put, now faith is what I'm believing God for, and I'm convinced it's going to happen. That's simply stated what that verse says. I'm believing God for this, and I believe hope is tied in with the fact that he said it, so I'm convinced it's going to happen. Here, verse 2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And so what it's saying here is, because every elder that's written in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and every other elder whom the Lord refers to had a good report because of faith. Because of faith, not because of this or that or the other, but because of faith. So if you want a good report with God, it's going to be a result of you operating in faith. You want to know how to please God? It's going to be because of faith. So if the elders obtained a good report, then we can see as believers how we too can receive a good report. It's always believing what you don't see when God has said it and it doesn't appear to be. That's the kind of faith God is excited about. When the world says no and God said, I said yes. Well, you're saying, well, no, all of the indicators indicate that it's not going to be that. It's not going to happen like that. But God said, I said. So then the question becomes, whose report will you believe? And then you start learning how to go with God because you learn that God cannot lie. He cannot fail. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows every situation. And on top of that, he's still in control. So that's important for you to realize. Now, verse 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds, S plural, that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Let's pause there. First of all, the word says, through faith we understand that the worlds, why doesn't it say that the world, singular, but the worlds? Because this word world is translated as eon or ages. And what you need to know is, you know, you've heard of the ice age, the dinosaur age, the this age, the that, and all that. Well, let me say it, make it as clear as I can make it. In every age and in every world, the pre-Adamic world, the world that existed before Adam, mankind, and all the rest of that. Before any of that existed, God was. And because God was, it's important to understand that he himself framed every world, every age, to operate the way that he desired it to operate. So when it talks about worlds, it's talking about every world that has existed, that does exist, or that will exist, will be in existence because his mouth framed up the way that world should be. The Holy Ghost, his third person, is the power, the potentate, the zeal that caused what God designed with his mouth blueprint to be constructed and manifested in his same power. Now, so God has an architectural team. He and Jesus said, let us make man in our image. And when he said that, I need you to know the Holy Ghost was a part of that as well, but they did the designing part of it. The Holy Ghost's job was to make whatever he said so. He was the construction farmer. He made it all come to pass. God said it, and he and the Son agreed on it, and the Holy Ghost said, that's what you want. We got it covered. And he produced whatever God says. So first of all, the Holy Spirit formed, listen at this, what God framed. Are y'all listening to me? The Holy Ghost actually manifested, brought into existence, materialized everything God framed up with his words. So that the things which are seen, those things are formed, they're fashioned, they're materialized, they are made. Holy Ghost did that. That's still a part of the triune God. And so everything, listen at this, that we can see, everything that we can see, if we can lay eyes on it, it was framed up by the word of God. Listen, now it says, not only was the word of God framing up all of the worlds and the ages, and everything that is seen was not made by things which do appear. Here is what's important. The way the writer writes this is really juxtaposing how it is. In other words, when we recognize how it really is, the materialized stuff, the stuff that has come to pass, the stuff that it has made it so that it is visual and visible, did not come first. What came first is what God spoke. So in other words, God spoke what he wanted to see. And what he wanted to see could not, listen, be done any other way. So here is what he wants us to understand. If you're looking at it here on earth, God did it. Man might try to take responsibility for it. He either did it directly or indirectly because he made man in his image and in his likeness, gave him the ability to function on a lower level than him, gave him the ability to speak those things that be not as though they were, used his same power to create those things as they change and shape their own atmosphere by the word he gave them in faith. And so when they operate on his word and say, God, you said it in your word, well, listen, it ain't really them, it's him. They're just repeating what he said. And the Holy Ghost responds to what God said, not what I say. But when I say, God, you said it, now the Holy Spirit said, all right, now you're talking about the right person. What is it that you want? And so that's how the Holy Spirit brings to pass what we say when what we say is what God said. So you begin to recognize this and begin to operate in this, because when you learn this clearly, get it in your spirit, listen, I'm going to operate in the things of faith, which means I don't see them first, I say them first. They don't exist now because I haven't said it yet. But when I get ready for it to come, I'm going to open my mouth and speak those things that be not as though they already exist. And that's all that God did. When God said that, Genesis chapter 1, I just want you to read a few verses of that. Read if you don't mind. Because what is important about that, that you should understand, is that's the paradigm that he set.
Genesis chapter 1.
Beginning at verse 1.
Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Verse 2. The earth was without form and void.
Without form and void. Keep
and
going.
Darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Hold on. Now, who did the moving?
Spirit of God.
The Spirit of God did the moving. God is the one. Keep reading.
Verse 3. And God said, let there be light.
All right. Keep reading.
And there was light.
All right. That's good enough right there. Now, God said it, and the Holy Spirit moved. God said it, and the Holy Spirit moved. Read verse 27 of that first chapter, read it. God said it, and the Holy Spirit moved.
Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
All right. Now listen to this. When God got through doing all of this and he made man in his image, etc., he made man in his image for a purpose. He already said in the verses earlier that he put man to till the earth, gave him dominion over everything on the earth, in the earth. He made him a great power in the earth realm. Now, he mimicked God, mirrored God in the earth realm because he was made in God's image and in God's likeness. Well, we can't stop at one point and not realize that God had a greater purpose and point for our lives here on planet Earth. And when we stop at the fact that we were just created in his image and likeness, the question becomes, for what? What did he do? Because whatever he did, if we're made in his image and his likeness, that means what I do is like what he did. So I've got to learn, God made a little me, a little him, which is called a little me, to act like big him. When he hears me speak, it ought to be authoritative. It ought to be powerful. It ought to be with great conviction and with the expectation that what I say is going to come to pass. See, because everything God said, was there doubt anywhere in it? When he said it, the Holy Spirit moved. See, that's what you got to get in your mind. Man, when I speak the word of God and believe that it's going to happen, the Holy Ghost is going to move. He's not going to move if I doubt. He's not going to move if I'm shifting, I'm wondering, and I'm like, Lord, I believe if you do that, it might happen. I'm not deserving. I'm not worthy. He knew all that before he made you. That's where grace comes in at. See, but the devil wants to turn it to you and on you so that you'll forget about him. Because if you forget about him, your convictions convict you of the fact that you're not worthy. But you become worthy, one, by the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of your testimony. you are able to overcome and be victorious in every essence of life when you understand the word of God. Now, when he finishes this part, he sets the stage for us to understand the rest of this 11th chapter. So if I know now that God spoke and framed the worlds, every world, every age, when I hear, you know, 165 million years ago, wait a minute, man, ain't that old? Well, that's an age of which God was in control of. God spoke. Again, that was another world, etc. God is in control of all of that. All of that came by the word of God. Now, this is our dispensation now. That was their dispensation then. But here is the same point. Everything he did then, he does now in terms of speaking and having it materialized. So when I start speaking by faith again, the first thing I've got to have, if I go back to verse 1, is the ability to act on God's word with conviction immediately. Now, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. Again, faith is believing the word of God that I cannot see, but I am convinced is going to happen because God said it. I can't see his word, but what I can see is the effect of his word, or the effects of his word. Now let's get on to verse 4, because it then says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, there are those who argue what made Abel's sacrifice more excellent than Cain's. Abel dealt with the sheep and the flocks. Cain dealt with the orchard and the ground. Was it the difference between the gifts that they brought? Was it merely a quantitative situation or a qualitative situation? And here's what you need to know. God always judges your gift by your spirit of giving. Did you hear what I just said? Now, if Abel gave God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, it meant by way of quality and quantity, his gifts were better because they had an excellent spirit connected with it. You can't think you can give God anything and he'll be pleased with it. You don't go in your pocket and just give to God. You need to think about. You need to be grateful about what you're giving God. You need to think of how he's blessed you, how he's kept you, how he's keeping you, how he's opened doors. When you go to God and you're giving God something, it ought to be worthy of your God. Worthy of your God. If it's not worthy of him, the gift, listen, does not move him, it's in vain. In vain. Listen to what the word says. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. Now what does that say? Because his heart was right and he gave, some say because of the blood, and of course that blood reminded men of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And I'm sure that does have a part to play with it, but it goes back because this was at the very beginning. And they were judged upon their own hearts and their own gifts to the Lord. And so when Abel gave the best flock, the best of his flock, he chose the best, the first year, without spot or wrinkle, He made sure, this is, of all of my sheep, this is the best one I've got right here. I'm going to give this to the Lord.